This is the Agile Thoughts Podcast, and I'm Lance Kine.
This is Will Iverson with ChangeNode. Go check it out, changenode.com. And I've got a website there where I'm helping folks in the tech industry think about jobs and careers and how to move all that forward. And the YouTube video also covers tech and especially job stuff.
This is a continuing episode of a series with Will Iverson about tech jobs and IT in the face of AI.
Yeah, I guess just to wrap it, because I think this is going to be a long chunk of material. I think that the challenge is I am personally, for what it's worth, quite optimistic about the future in the big sense, in the sense of like, we have the tools and the tech to be able to do things like fix climate change. We have the tools and the tech and the capacity to get to where we could do amazing things with healthcare and energy and transportation and housing and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
But the problem is us figuring out how to allocate it and manage it and cope with it. And also, how do you put food on the table in what is going to look like a deflationary period? It's going to be really weird economics.
Do you want to can you describe a little bit why you think it's a deflationary period? Because right now I feel like inflationary is what I see.
No. So what a deflationary period is. So the Great Depression was a deflationary recession. And part of that was because what happened was that you had this downward spiral of, prices are cheap and they kept getting cheaper, but it was coupled with people losing jobs. And it's this really weird thing where if you have a job, then you can buy things cheap. If you had money during the Great Depression, you could buy land cheap, you could buy factories cheap, you could buy stocks cheap, you could buy all this stuff. I mean, everything was on sale. But if you were a labor participant in the economy, if you relied on wages, right, it sucked. But it was great if you were rich, because then you could, that's why we have servers and waiters that live on tips in this country goes back to the Great Depression. Because what happened was restaurants would literally say to people, I'm not going to pay you a salary at all, but if you want to come in here and be a waiter and then work for tips, you can do that.
Wow.
So if you were rich, it was awesome because, the food was cheap.
Yeah.
So proportionally speaking, so we're at this model where right now when I'm messing around with Claude, right, I'm able to build apps that would have taken me 2 weeks to do by hiring some guy to do. And now I can bang it out in an hour by interacting with an LLM. And I pay the LLM $2 in token costs, right? That's deflation. That is deflationary. The one of the phrases is every job represents a market inefficiency.
Yes, that's true. I don't know. I can't believe you made me say that, Will.
It's this really and part of it is everybody's really excited about cutting costs and getting rid of other people's jobs. So I've got my house, I'm a homeowner. Oh no, there's an electrical problem, right? Mm-hmm. Well, I call up the electrician. He's like, it'll be X $100 an hour and blah, blah, blah. My dream is I go buy an electrician bot. Right?
You wouldn't buy that. You would rent it. Yeah, yeah.
I rent the electrician bot and he comes out and it's like $10 an hour.
Right?
Does the work. Right? This is what's driving a lot of the stuff about outsourcing and those challenges, because everybody wants, it's like everybody's mad when they lose their job, but nobody wants to pay anybody else to do anything.
Sure.
And that's what a deflationary recession looks like. And historically, the way that we have dealt with a deflationary recession in the traditional economic toolbox is low interest rates and cheap debt. But you know who qualifies for loans in a deflationary recession?
People with lots of money. Uh-huh. I assume.
So this is how you wind up with both inflation and deflation at the same time in different sectors and different pieces. Right?
Yeah. Yeah, I guess so. No, I didn't understand that, and I will be thinking about that for quite a while, the deflationary part of inflation. Huh.
Well, and so it's inflation. So right now, part of it is that there's some really cool charts that show inflation broken down by sector. Right. So top level inflation number is like almost worthless. Like if I say the top level inflation is 3%, but then if you have a component of it where you say, well, food has gone up 20%, but electronics have dropped 20%.
Oh, yeah, I see.
So then you'd be like, oh, it's 0% inflation. And you're like, yeah, but.
Right. You're unhappy because your car radio now costs too much money or something. Yeah.
I can't eat my iPad. And so that is part of where if you break apart the components right now, you have this feeling just the same way with unemployment. If all I do is cite the top level unemployment number and I say, oh, unemployment's great. It's 3.5%. Oh, wait, let's break that into components. And if you say, oh, well, in tech, it's 10%. And in people who want to do retail jobs, it's 1%. You're like, well, that doesn't feel good. That still feels like a terrible economy, even though I can point to a 3.5% unemployment. If I point to an inflation rate that's 2%, but oh, eggs went up 20%.
Right.
Which is good, which is bad. So right now, when you look at the component data, the two ones that are shooting through the roof are housing and healthcare and education.
And education, three. I would think, yeah.
Yeah. And so that's where you get this weird disconnect because like if the and a lot of those are especially education and housing are both heavily debt modeled. Hmm. Right. So no, it's yeah, no, the next couple.
We can end this on a negative note. Is it possible?
Well, I mean, this is the problem is that like, I struggle with this because like I've done so on my YouTube channel. So I have a YouTube channel, Change Now, and it's YouTube channel on the website. And on the website, I have like, you know, tools for people that are looking for jobs and relocations and stuff and job boards. Like one of the concrete things I would say is, you know, Indeed and LinkedIn are probably almost worthless for finding jobs right now. The number one, of course, is networking. But there's actually a ton of like other smaller job boards that are more specialized that people are getting way more success on. Right now, we're seeing a lot of people obviously transitioning from federal to state and local government. So there's like jobs boards specific for state and local government where they don't post those jobs on Indeed or LinkedIn, in some cases, even for legal reasons. So you want to hit government job sites for that kind of work. There's a couple of others, like there's specialty jobs for tech things, for remote work. There's one called like 80,000 hours that's more specialized around people who are trying to do good works. So if you're remotely interested in things like nonprofits and stuff, they're actually hiring a ton of people who are looking for people to do AI strategy right now. Like I keep seeing tons of those kinds of jobs floating by in the 80,000 hours. So if you go to changenode.com, plug. I've got blogs and articles up on there, but the main thing I'm doing is a YouTube channel with that. And
yeah, I'm looking at it right now.
Yeah. And some of the biggest videos on there that have done well have been, you know, specifically about things like tech jobs and when jobs are coming back and stuff like that. And so one of the challenges is I don't want to demoralize anybody. I don't want to be like, you know, yeah, it's all going to be AIs and dystopian and, you know, fiery hellscape, because I don't think that's true. But I do think we have to be honest, right? Among my personal friends that I know, there are folks that have been looking for work for 6 months, a year, the last year or two, pretty tough. And so I think it's challenging because you want to be balanced about it. Obviously, and some of this is the margin, right? Like if I have, let's say I go meet with coffee lunches with 10 people, right? If two of them are out of work, that sucks. But eight of them are still working, right? So being, you got to be optimistic about it and stuff. I will know. I mean, like, dude, the comments on a lot of my videos are grim, you know, especially for like kids coming out of school. They're like, CS is toast. And the problem is if I say something like, well, I've been through two recessions, the 2001 and the 2008 recession, and kind of one in 92, 93, all three of those, what happened was is about 3-4 years later, there was a huge boom for tech jobs because CS students stopped going into those majors, or kids stopped going into CS as a major, right? So like you and I are talking right now and we're both like, yeah, I wouldn't go into CS as a major today. Well, implicit in that means that in probably about 3-4 years, there's going to be a huge shortage of CS majors, right? Because it overcorrects. But the problem is like, and that's where it's like this sort of macroeconomic thing, because you're like, hey, kid that just got out of school and can't find a job, in 3 or 4 years, you might be able to find something. But in the meantime, I don't know what you're going to do. Like that's a tough message.
Right.
And if you are, as they say, a bit more senior in the world, and if you have a mortgage payment and kids and families and stuff to support and blah, 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 then now you just take the stress level, you know?
Yeah.
I guess the optimistic thing, it would be, if you're looking for jobs, go to ChangeNode and check out the videos on the site and check out especially those alternative job boards. Like I mentioned Svelte, so it's like a JavaScript framework that I like. There's like literally job boards that are specific for Svelte developers, right? And so people will post their job and they'll get 5 responses and then you'll get a hire. And so it's a different alchemy. But if you go on LinkedIn and somebody posts a random job and then within 6 hours, you'll see the little ticker. And I think they actually took some of this down, but it used to say stuff like 780 people have applied to this job in the last 7 hours. And you're just like,
why did they take it down? That's valuable information. That means I'm not likely going to put a lot of effort into applying for that job.
it was valuable information, but it was also highlighting, as near as I can tell, maybe I'll get an angry call from somebody at LinkedIn, but as near as I can tell, LinkedIn's just fully gone spam bots on both sides. You've got both the recruiters and the job postings. You've got fraudulent job postings, because there's like a whole world of people that post a job just because they're fishing for personal details.
Oh, data brokers, huh?
You got data brokers. You've got...
I assume that's why they're fishing for personal details, is they sell the... Okay.
Yep. And then they're also looking for desperate people, because people will do things like, well, in order to apply for this job, you have to put in a $250 application fee.
Ooh, snap.
So you're getting full-blown scams, because as soon as you get desperate people, you get scammers. So...
I've noticed an uptick in as somebody who's currently looking, I've noticed an uptick when I put in open to work, that I was getting more anonymous text messages from strange email addresses, because you can have an Apple ID associated to in order to send out a text message. Anyways, that were related to jobs that were like, huh, why do I have to get onto WhatsApp to apply for your job? And I don't know who you are. And you, and then somebody will be so bold as like, start asking for your personal details right off the bat, which is clearly like, you know, wholesale scam.
I mean, the problem is that this is the thing. I would go for specialty boards and I would go for networking. And that may include trying to go to physical meetups and stuff. Like, anytime that you can, like if you're in a geographic area, I would say hit up every recruiter you can and just offer to buy them lunch or coffee. Like, don't overthink it. Just say like, look, I'm looking for, and I've actually seen people say that you shouldn't even flip the open for work on LinkedIn, because all you're doing is just putting, I'm desperate and please hit me up on there. I don't know. I mean, LinkedIn pushes it really hard and says, if you're looking, you should put open work, blah, blah, blah. But
Let me tackle that one a little bit. I have an opinion on that. And I don't have, like, maybe I don't know the full truth.
We're
so good
at wrapping things up, I know. But like,
yeah, I know. We're doing a terrible job with that. But anyways, I don't want to leave a message that I think is be overly jaded, is there are people who are really negative about everything, including asking or telling LinkedIn that you're looking for work, that they'll say things like, yes, if you do that, then you'll be, like you just said, you'll be perceived as being out of work, which is a bad thing. And of course, over time, while I'm still looking, that badge will be up there for a long time.
Yeah.
The positive side of that is I definitely got a lot more push from recruiters and people in my network who could help me out. So I would caution people about not using that. I would suggest that that's a fairly useful tool. I did say that there's a however is that I noticed I was getting more scams into my cell phone. But, be smart about that. And there's a lot of other people I've heard these words about, like, well, people will perceive you this way or people will perceive you that way, not just about the LinkedIn profile. Now I'm just saying in general, be not unemployed for a while, that everybody's going to have perceptions, but you can't control those perceptions. But I don't know that you, if you listen to everybody's advice about negative connotations related to being out of work, I don't think it's very actionable. That's my opinion.
Yeah, I guess I just come down to, and this is the challenge, is what is the data? Are you more likely to find work, and are you more likely to get a good salary and be in a better negotiation position by flipping that on or not? And I have no idea. I mean, that's where we're just floating an anecdote because we don't really know. You know, I mean, flip a switch or not on the LinkedIn. It's like, I don't know if that's positive or negative. It's more just like, which works better? And maybe that's one of the questions you ask the recruiters when you're taking them out for coffee and lunch, right? Like, what do you recommend? And it's just something for them to, you know, expound upon and see what they say. And even when I've been out of work, I've often found like small project things, little chunks of work on this or that to do on the side. So then it's like, well, am I a freelancer or am I unemployed or am I an underemployed freelancer? You know, definitionally, I don't know.
Yeah, if you're doing contract work. Yeah, no, that's interesting. I was thinking about that too. And I'm not sure if it's I don't know how that's perceived by recruiters as well when you have work experience as a freelancer versus work experience as a contractor. I don't know if that's one of the choices.
I think that what you're going to want to say is like, you always want to be doing something productive. I think that it's hard to do more than about 20 hours a week of looking for work, regardless. I'm, believe it or not, kind of introverted by nature in the sense that I get tired from social stuff, right? So if I do like a coffee or a lunch every day for like a week, I'm going to feel it. And so I think that if you're a recruiter and somebody says, you know, well, I'm looking for a job, and then they have any other things that they can say, like, are they writing code and putting it up on GitHub for their personal projects? Mm. Are they, you know, hey, what are you doing? And be like, I am exploring how the web GPU APIs can be used for running an LLM in the browser.
Yeah. All of those things are better than complaining about AI and how it sucks because you don't.
Yeah. You don't want to complain and you don't want to be like, dude, I have cleared out my Netflix queue, man. That's what I've been doing. You know, like, that's not like, you know, or, you know, I finally unlocked 100% achievements on Civ or something. Like, you know, you don't want to be that guy about it. And I think it also will help not getting depressed, like, as in say, hey, I'm working on this thing, you know.
Yeah.
The best case scenario is you work on a startup idea or something, maybe do 10 or 20 hours a week on that and 10 or 20 hours a week on looking for the job. And then if somebody says, what are you doing? You say, well, I've got this idea and I'm working on this thing and I'm pushing out codes, I'm writing up requirements, I'm doing this, I'm doing that. And that also, maybe that even in a way is like what part of what cracks me up about AI. Like I have all these like little ideas for web apps. It's like, I want to do this, I want to do that. Like I mentioned earlier, I've got that idea for a strategy game. It's like, well, that's scratching off a couple things because A, I get to work on the game because it's fun to do the game stuff. But oh, wait, by the way, I'm also learning about web GPU APIs. How to program and offload work onto the graphics processor. Oh, what does that involve? That means things like understanding how a GPU kernel works. It means understanding how I copy data back and forth from the CPU to the GPU and what patterns works and what scale is worth pushing that processing over. One scenario is there's a bunch of that kind of stuff that even for business apps might be helpful. Like, hey, you want to do traveling salesman? You probably would rather take a little snapshot of that data out of out of your data store, throw that and do the traveling salesman problem work on the GPU on a client device, because then you're spreading out the load. So even though it's a game, there's a very concrete set of business problems that's solving. And so the phrase for me is always dual use.
I always think about those guys in the 50s that would build bunkers.
Mm-hmm.
Where it's like, well, now what do you have? You have a hole in the backyard, right? Like, it's stupid. But you know what? If you're really worried about things, you should probably buy camping gear. Because, right? You know, they say you should have it like 3 days of supplies in case of an emergency, right?
Yeah.
So you don't build bunkers, but go buy camping supplies. And then you can also go have fun with it too, right?
Yeah.
The AI stuff, there's so much opportunity right now because, hey, okay, for a couple bucks, you can hire an AI developer to build something for you. So, you know, have you had any ideas for apps to make? Like, you know, agile project management. Do you remember? I mean, you remember when things like Rally and Liquid Planner and all that were like the hotness,
right?
And then Jira kind of won and squished it. I don't know anybody who likes Jira now. I mean, I know people that practically have PTSD over Jira, right?
I know. Yeah.
And so, does that mean that there's an opportunity in a space to do another project management tool? And you could say, hey, I'm going to work on that 10 to 15, 20 hours with my AI and have it write the code for that and blah, blah, blah. Like, it's this crazy time. That's sort of what's so weird. It's like, on the one hand, like my son, I ask him about the AI stuff and I'm like, does this stress you or worry about? And he's like, no, it's like sci-fi every day. When I was a kid, computers went from Apple II command line stuff, mm-hmm, right,
mm-hmm,
to color and windows and mice and sound effects that went from beeps and boops and little, you know, janky MIDI stuff to full-blown CD quality audio and blah, blah, blah. So there was this point in my life, I would say from about 1980, early 80s, call it 83 to like 2000, when he was like, dude, tech was amazing because there was a new thing all the time.
Yep. Convex.
Yeah. Right. And like, that's the thing is I do think that when you get to a certain point in your career and then it's like, oh, here's the new thing. And you can be like, eh, this is terrible. Like, you know, there's a gatekeeping aspect, like, you know, the film guys. I remember when I started getting into film and video stuff, but I was only doing it on my computer digitally. And there were people who were just like, well, if you don't know chemistry for how to develop film for photography and film, like, what are you even doing? Like, that's stupid, right? It's like kind of that choose your mindset. If you're not working right now and you're not spending 10, 15 hours messing around with this stuff, building it, finding its limits, how to work with it, like... Yeah. Launch that side project that you've always had, the thing that you would do.
Yeah, I agree with all that. I agree that, and that's why I'm working on my own generative AI project, which will help get leads for today's needs in the industry. And plus, I'm going to sell it and develop an income stream. I don't know if it'll be enough to pay for my cost of living, but you know, this is what you're talking about, Will, is how do you develop yourself with intention to either get ahead of the puck or skate to the puck where it's at, whatever, you know, whatever time frame you're thinking about. This is great. And I'll also say that some of the early college grads have been doing some pretty impressive stuff. Like, I get phone calls because I'm this senior guy at the time who wasn't looking for work and say, hey, if you need something, just come talk to me. I'll write the code for it, blah, blah, blah. Because they're just looking for things to do and are willing to collaborate. So there's other people like that out there. You can get a group of people together and do something really powerful. I could totally imagine.
Yeah. I mean, one of the first things that most JDs include is self-starter.
Right, right.
Hi, this is Will Iverson with ChangeNode. Go check it out, changenode.com. And I've got a website there where I'm helping folks in the tech industry think about jobs and careers and how to move all that forward. And the YouTube video also covers tech and especially job stuff. So if that's something that's interesting, if you're trying to figure out how to deal with this crazy new world of everything from AI to what have you, either you've thinking about how you want to manage your career or maybe you're in between positions, come and check that out. I think that's probably the biggest thing you could do. And so today
was pretty happy because we got to cover a lot of material related to that space. You know, what does tech jobs look like? What the tech sector is going to be? What are the economics of it going to be? How this might play out over the next few years? So we get to indulge ourselves in a little bit of prediction about the future. So all that fun stuff.
Cool. Well, thanks for coming onto the show.
It's my pleasure. It's always fun to hang out and chat with you. So this is like super fun.
So. God. All right. We've got more value in the show notes, which have useful links that we discussed or are related to this topic. What are show notes? Show notes show up right in your podcast player for your easy access. If you don't use a podcast player and you downloaded this MP3, go back to the website where you got it and you will see the show notes there. This is the last episode of a series that started at episode 309. And if you're like my friend Boris and you missed some of these episodes, you can type into your favorite search engine, Agile Thoughts, Will Iverson, and it will find the series page for you, which will have all of the links that you care for.